Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. A special welcome to those who may be new to St. John's and those who join us each week on live stream. It is good to welcome you into God's presence on this morning, and we pray that the service will be a blessing to you. The announcements for this morning were on the screens as you were coming in and are in the bulletin. Is everybody's bulletin off center, or is it just mine? It might just be mine. I think I fixed that, yes. Rob's away this week, as you'll notice on that last bulletin. So any errors in the bulletins or the slides this morning are strictly those of the management, and that's what you get when you leave me unsupervised. So there you have it. The one thing that came up this week was I was unable to get into Rob's computer to see if there were additional announcements. So over the coming 7 days, if you need to put something into the bulletin, email me directly. Don't email the admin email address because I can't get in there. So there were a couple little hiccups that we discovered this week, one being that I can't log into that computer anymore. So that was interesting. Other announcements, please note the times for the funeral services for Betty Berry, which are in the bulletin and were on the screens this morning, as well as the congregational meeting. The congregational meeting has been called for Sunday, September 27th, following worship. The purpose of this meeting is to appraise the congregation on the status of Caldwell Hall and the events that have happened over this past summer, and to approve sources of funding as we move forward. So please make note of that and plan to be here on that day. Brenda, what are you doing sitting up here at the front?
Good morning. The session met on Tuesday, September the 9th. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and reading from Psalm 119, verses 89 to 105, which celebrates the eternal, unchanging nature of God's word and his power to sustain, comfort, and guide us through life's trials. We are looking for someone who will be willing to provide some land next spring for John Massa to build a large vegetable plot. Please speak to Bob Martin if you're able to support this initiative. A congregational meeting will be held following the service on Sunday 27th to provide information about the roof and restoration to receive approval to act sources of funding. Susan McDonald reported that the Rotary Club will not be using the Caldwell Hall this spring for their pancake breakfast. The pickleball groups and events that were pre-booked in Caldwell Hall have been notified that they'll not be able to be in the gym until the restoration is complete. Reverend Adams shared the worship and music report. Session approved a pay increase for our music director. A piano cover will be purchased for the new piano to prevent it from being scratched. Dan Plant reported that a Leading with Care workshop led by David Phillips from the PCC National Office will be held on October the 24th. This will be open to all churches in the Presbytery. It is hoped that all elders, those working with youth, children, and pastoral care volunteers are in attendance. Cynthia Sagan reported that John Matthews continues to work on reconciling the 2025 financials. Mary Mack shared positive news about the success of the Doors Open event. Reverend Adams reported that he has shared home communion with some people in the church community with the help of myself and Dan Plant. If you'd like a home communion or know of someone who might, please speak to Reverend Adams. Thanks.
And as we enter into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in the light of his path. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Who is this God whom we have come to worship?
God is the creator of all.
God, the creator of birds and trees, wind and sea.
God is the creator of all things seen and unseen.
Then let us worship the God of creation.
God of all things, great and small.
Let us pray. We worship you, creating and recreating God. Even the elements obey your commands, and through your grace we receive pardon and release. We gather this morning in response to your goodness. Pour out your Spirit upon us, that we may praise you with all joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is number 321 in the Book of Praise. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Number 321, or as it appears before you on the screen.
Thank you.
And as we come into God's presence this day, let us come, confessing our sins to the God who forgives and saves. This morning's prayer of confession will appear before us on the screen. Beloved and liberating God, as we praise and worship you and extol your love and compassion, we also acknowledge our most urgent, constant need to reflect on choices and customs, costs and purchases, attitudes and scorn, on speech and action, and even on silence and disinterest, which carry us away in collusion with injustice that injures the earth. The crisis that surrounds us may be beyond what we can redeem. Fear and despair may constrain what our hands have yet to change, our lips correct. The harm we put down. But the call of Christ has not diminished to change minds for each new day, to let go of harm and seek good news. Amen. People of God, our sins are forgiven. God is merciful and gracious and is Lord of all of us all. Reconciled to the God who loves us, let us live and love through Christ Jesus our Lord. And as we have been forgiven, we are invited and encouraged through the gospel to be forgiving one of another. Let us share with one another a sign of the peace of Christ, and may the peace of Christ be with you all. Once more, let us come in praise as we sing the hymn, God of the Sparrow, God of the Whale, hymn 307 in the Book of Praise. Please be seated. I had a music director that hated the last chord of that hymn because it leaves it open. It doesn't close. And she changed it every single time. Friends, as we come for another fall, we come celebrating the life of our congregation and preparing for the educational ministries of the church. This morning, we pause in worship to commission our teachers for the coming year. And we have dedicated and faithful teachers and nursery care providers who are always on hand. Sometimes there are kids, sometimes there are not. but that doesn't mean that we're not ready for them. And so we commissioned them this morning for one more, for another year of leadership in the church. So I'm going to ask our teachers and our nursery care folks to come forward at this time. Trish Brown and Laura McFadden take care of the teaching of, come on, keep coming, of our older group of folks, the folks who actually go through, have what we call Sunday school, and which is from, we're a little mushy on the dates, from about
K to whatever.
And sometimes the K is a little mushy too, but it's always good to have children gathered downstairs. And then Sherry and Susan and Carol Ann are our nursery care providers. So anything up to that mushy start of the Sunday school. So, but 1 to 4, I think, is probably what we officially say. 1 to 4, 1 to 5, we're ready for you. So, the Lord continues his ministry in and through the church, and all Christians are invited to participate in the ministry of Jesus Christ. As his body on earth, we all have gifts to use in the church and in the world to the glory of Christ, our King and Head. God calls some of us to ministries of teaching within the church, to the nurturing of the Christian faith among children, young people, and adults, and the building up of the household of God. These first questions are addressed to you all. The answer is, we do. As you prepare to take on the responsibility of nursery and Sunday school, do you accept this task willingly as a calling from God? Do you commit yourselves to carry it out with enthusiasm and perseverance? Do you acknowledge your dependence on God's strength and guidance? I would invite the congregation to also please stand. Your answers are more difficult. But as I say to brides, because this comes up in weddings as well, if I say, do you, your response is, we do. If I say, will you, your response is, I see you got it. Friends, these teachers and leaders will carry God's lively word in a special way to those whom they serve in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you promise to support them in their task, to pray for them, and to recognize their contribution to God's work in this community? Learning in the church is not limited to a few children, youth, and adults. It is the responsibility of all of us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, as well as the skills we need to fulfill our task. As children, youth, and adults, will you commit yourselves to take advantage of the learning opportunities that are provided by this congregation? May God bless and strengthen us as we seek to do as we have promised. Amen. And you guys going down this morning? The Sunday school folks are going down. The nursery folks will be down there. They have their own best time down there. There's no denying it. So we thank them for being present for this part of the worship, and we'll see you all after class. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, your word is strong and leads our feet to your holy dwelling. Strengthen and guide us with your word through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Exodus 14, 19 to 31. The angel of God who was going before the Israelite army moved and went behind them, And the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord, in the pillar of fire and cloud, looked down on the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into a panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. The gospel reading is Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if my brother or sister sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times." The parable of the unforgiving servant. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, the Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children, and all his possessions and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart.
Once more, let us turn in praise. We sing hymn 74 in the Book of Praise, "When Israel Fled from Egypt Land," hymn number 74. before we read our reading from the Psalms, this is one of those Sundays where I might encourage you, if you were so inclined, to open your pew Bible and have it sitting with you as we move through the sermon this morning. You don't need to do that, but some of you may find it helpful. Our reading this morning is from Psalm 114. We read verses, and the psalm is found on page 574 in the Old Testament section, the first half of your pew Bibles. Let us listen for God's word to his people. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from the people of a strange language, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his domain. The sea looked and fled, Jordan turned back, the mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why is it, O sea, that you flee, or Jordan that you have turned back? O mountains, that you skip like rams, O hills like lambs. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. We discovered something this week. When Valerie phoned me yesterday and said, I've read these readings before. So if these readings sounded familiar to you, they were. But that's what it is when the minister comes back from vacation. Sometimes, things go awry. I'm trusting that Mark preached the gospel. And if Mark preached the gospel, then we are safe because I am preaching the psalm. There you go. Good morning, everyone. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The retelling of an old story. One of the themes that reappears throughout the book of Psalms from time to time is the story of the Exodus. Many years ago, when I was still a student in seminary and participating in my field education, working in a congregation under the watchful eye of an experienced minister, my mentor at the time mentioned to me that the first Bible study he would do if he was going through the books of the Bible would be the Gospel of Mark. And then, right after the Gospel of Mark, he would do the book of Exodus. And those were words that I took to heart. And that has more or less been the pattern that I have followed throughout all of my ministry. Now, I can't remember 7 years ago. I don't know if you can either. And of course, 7 years ago was a very strange time. So we might not have quite done things in this order. But usually, each time I walk into a new congregation and we begin a new Bible study cycle with a congregation, I have tended to begin with the Gospel of Mark. And if you want to know why Mark, you can talk to me afterwards this morning. And after Mark, the book of Exodus. You see, Exodus is formative. It was the formative story of that first community of faith that was journeying through the desert. It was formative to all of those who recorded the Hebrew scriptures after that first community of faith, who built a faith on God's deliverance of God's people from injustice. It was formative then in the life of Jesus, who was born into the Jewish faith. But more importantly, who in this mysterious Trinitarian way lived into and amplified God's covenant, the covenant made way back when with the people of Israel in the Exodus times. He lived into and amplified that covenant, and the pages of the gospel are filled with allusions to the faith that was forged in the desert. And lastly, Exodus continues to be formative for us. People of faith seeking to walk closely with God, to learn to place our whole trust in God as God has revealed the divine presence to generation upon generation upon generation of faithful people beginning in that desert. So it's natural then that this important story influenced, inspired, and was retold in this important collection of hymns and reflections on the faith that we know as the Book of Psalms. As we turn to Psalm 114, our reading for this morning, we look at the first part of that journey of faith upon which the children of God had embarked, the crossing of the Red Sea, and its devastating result for the Egyptian pursuers, an important first step on the journey of faith and freedom for the children of God at one and the same time. You may have heard that in the reading as we listened to Exodus chapter 14 this morning. The story of Psalm 114, like all of the stories of God, is told from the perspective of a believing community. And that's important. It is only from the perspective of faith that these stories can be told at all. But it means there's some interesting stuff in this psalm this morning. Grab your Bibles if you have them open beside you for a minute. If you don't, I'm going to read it for you, so don't worry. But the psalm begins with these words in verses 1 and 2. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his domain. Notice anything there in those two verses? The perspective is backwards. Israel, after all, was the minority community living in the midst of the dominant culture of the Egyptians. And yet, as the psalmist begins this psalm, he chooses to identify the Egyptians as the outsiders. It's the Egyptians who speak a strange language, not this ragtag little group of Hebrews slaving away in the desert sun. But this is the story of God's people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it is their speech that God hears. It is their perspective which gives meaning to all the events that will follow. So we go on to verse 2, and verse 2 continues to build on this backwards structure. We might be tempted to say that God was the people's sanctuary, right? We say it in our own faith lives, that God is our strength. God is our hope. God is the one in whom we dwell. But that's not what the psalm says. The psalm says, Judah became God's sanctuary. God was manifest in these people. Don't forget that. Then the author lays out the heart of the story in verses 3 and 4. He says, the sea looked and it fled. The Jordan, it turned its back. The mountains, they skipped like rams, and the hills like lambs. The author begins, verse 3, with the reference to the parting of the Red Sea, right? The sea turned back. But note that he goes on from there. You would be forgiven if you missed this little bit, reading through the psalm, perhaps in too much haste. The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned its back. The insertion here of the reference to the River Jordan takes us not from the not to the beginning of the story of the Exodus, but to the end at the other side. The author reminds the reader that this story exists in a bracket. Certainly, the journey starts with the Red Sea, but don't forget that God parts the water twice. Once at the beginning and once at the end of the Exodus journey when the people are crossing into the promised land that had been promised to Abraham and his descendants after him. The waters of the Jordan River being rolled back in the same way that the sea had been in the beginning, so that the people could cross on dry land. But the author doesn't stop there. He broadens things out, our understanding, even more by adding those words. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. In these verses, in this moment, in which God intervenes in history on behalf of his chosen people, what the author is trying to tell you is that everything shook. Even the mountains, the great and timeless foundations of the world, are caused to quake and the hills convulse in the presence of God. And then next comes the joke. Next comes the taunting. We talked last week about it being the first week of school. Children on the playground are the best at taunting sometimes, isn't it? Na, 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 na. But here in this text, the author slides in that little verse, the taunting of the fallen world. Sometimes I really think it's unfortunate that we can't read these passages in the original Hebrew. It's not unfortunate that I didn't learn Hebrew because, man, I think that would have been hard. But it's unfortunate that we don't have that same sensibility with which they were written, because we don't often pick up the irony and the humor that are contained in the Hebrew scriptures, as it is found here in verses 5 and 6 of this text. Listen to it. Why is it, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, why have you turned your back? O mountains, why are you running away and skipping like rams, or hills like lambs? The author pokes fun at the undeniable powers of nature, of sea and water, of mountains and hills, and yet here they are being depicted as shrinking away before the presence of the one who created them. These are verses that should be read with a smile on our lips, as creation itself is, I don't know if this is a word. If it's not, it is now. Deprecated. Then the psalm presents to us his closing argument in the story. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water. As we begin the season of creation, it's good that we start here at Psalm 114 and in the affirmations that underlie everything that is written in this simple little psalm. The message it contains is this: that God continues to have dominion over creation. And that as God works out the divine plan of justice on the earth, that God has the ability to bend even creation to God's purposes. We are reminded that God can cause the very sea to turn away, and shake our fallen world to its very foundations, so that God's ultimate will of justice and peace may be realized. It may be something that seems far away, as it was when the children of Israel first began that journey out into the wilderness. It may seem uncertain and perhaps just a little scary, as it was, as we heard it recorded in Exodus chapter 14, where the people are being pursued by the army of the Egyptians, and yet we know how the story plays out. That God said to the waters, "Stop!" And the dry land came for those who were the people of God, that they might walk across the dry land and begin that journey of faith. And likewise, God stops the waters so that they may walk through at the end. In the uncertainty of the world in which we live, there are few things that we can put pins in the map for anymore. But the great blessing of faith, of our faith, is that God's promise lays before us still. And God's promise is that the working out of God's justice and God's peace will not be deterred, and that God will move heaven and earth that his will might be realized. And for that, we give thanks to God. Amen. This morning's affirmation of faith is taken from the Living Faith document, chapter 2.1, God Creates and Rules. I would invite you to respond where it is indicated on the slides. The living God is Lord, creator of all, sustainer and ruler of the universe. In the seasons and the harvests, in the rise and fall of nations, God's goodness and judgment are present. All events in this world are under the sovereign care of the eternal God. We hold in reverence the whole creation as the theater of God's glory and action. God rules the lives of individuals and nations, yet does not negate our freedom and responsibility. Even at work in the world and in our lives, God directs all things toward fulfillment in Christ. We affirm God's righteousness and loving purpose, even in a world where evil abounds. This person is uniquely disclosed in Jesus Christ. In him we see the greatest paradox of life, the mighty God chosen to come into this world in weakness. In Christ, God entered most deeply into our suffering. Amen. God is all unfailing in blessing and love. With thankful hearts, let us offer up to God a portion of what God has given to us, as we now return to God our tithes and our offerings.
We saw.
Let us pray. O God, we thank you for these gifts. Multiply them and enable the work of love and righteousness of your kingdom in this world. We thank and praise you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Once more, let us join our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. God of unfailing love, you are the source of all our strength. You have led us through troubled waters and away from our enemies. In your infinite love, you have had pity on us and heard our cries. Because of your faithful love and mercy, we bring our concerns to you this day, O God. We pray for your church around the world. May she be an instrument of love, forgiveness, and grace in a world that longs for reconciliation. We pray for the global community, that we might learn to live for each other in peace and cooperation and share collective responsibility to care for your creation. We pray for our local community and for its leaders. Grant them wisdom to address the complex issues of our day, issues of homelessness and addiction that prevent people from living life to their fullest. And we pray for those who suffer in their mind, body, or soul. Wrap your arms around them in love and help us, the church, be what they need. Hear now the silent intentions that we hold in our own hearts this day. Hear us now, O God, as we combine our intercessions and all our voices, as we pray in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Once more, we turn in praise as we sing our closing hymn, Crashing Waters at Creation. The hymn will appear before you on the screens.
Crashing waters of creation, ordered by the Spirit's will, whose will is
just a note before the benediction, throughout the summer we've been using the threefold Amen. We've returned to what is now for us a familiar choral closing, so be ready for a slight change after the benediction. Friends, let us walk in strength and confidence that God guides your feet. Therefore, live for God, show mercy and love one another. And may the God who protects and defends keep you in safety, mercy, and love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.